So, hi, I thought we'd start off with a little bit of a pop quiz. So, let's name that tune. Let's see how you do with this. You're not going to get long. Anybody know? Okay, I'll tell you. It's called Going Back to Our Roots by Odyssey. Okay? And that's the title of what I'm going to be talking about. I really like the idea of going back to our roots. It's just when we can focus our hearts and minds back on the source, it helps us to feel stable, grounded, strong, secure. So I really liked the title that I was given. The world is always searching for its roots. Where and with whom can it fit in with? And it might be that it draws it from its culture. It might draw it from its experiences, language, just many different sources. But everyone wants to know, where are they rooted? Just amongst us, I can see that we're from different languages, cultures, and experiences. So that obviously that all pulls together for this message now. And we all have different aspects of our past that will shape our lives today and obviously will shape how we think about even our future. So we can't really say that the past is irrelevant, because it's from the past that we learn different ways. Are we going off track? Are we reproducing the same? Or actually, are we learning something better than that was in our past? Which hopefully is the right answer. So our roots do shape our future. And so if you were brought up thinking that boys and girls don't have equal access to education, it's very unlikely that you would send your daughters to school. Or if you were brought up to say that you have to go into the family business, it's a generational thing, then that really limits your career options. So we can see that the past actually does play a big part in the future. People thought I might go into nursing because all my family are nurses, but that wasn't for me. So we see that our roots are such a powerful force that even in adoptive children, even if they were raised happy and they've had a wonderful life, there is still that need in some of them to go to find out answers that they just feel like they just need to have answered. I've just said that. Oh, well. Never mind. They just want to find out the answer of where they came from. And they'll go to great lengths looking at, you know, like family trees or going to libraries. And it's this inner desire to just find out who they are and how does it really affect their life, even though they've been raised very happily. Sometimes their history is impressive and positive. Sometimes it might be negative and really disappointing. And I found something positive in our family history. And apparently 1909, Henri Farman was one of the first people to design and produce a biplane. A biplane, an aeroplane. That's what I've been told by Steve's dad, so I don't know much about that. So we can see that these people in our past can pioneer new beliefs and make it easier for us. They can clear the way for us to go on and produce even more greater things than them. If we don't know our roots, it can leave us feeling a bit disconnected and just lost, I suppose. And God really has the idea that he wants everyone to be connected to him. However, we're not going to go into great genealogies right now. We're just going to simplify it and know that our roots are really easy. We are born of God. We are from the tree of life. We are from the root of Jesse. And we are part of the true vine. Jesus is the ultimate pioneer of a new and living way that we can believe and follow him. So, the vine. In John 15, Jesus is emphatic about who he is. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He's not saying, I'm going to try and be the vine, you try and be the branches. It's just a done deal. It's settled. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. So we see that our true purpose in life is to bear fruit to the glory of God. Philippians 2:13 tells us, it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. This takes all the pressure off us. As we are abiding, we know that the fruit will naturally come forth. But we have to be abiding. Here we see the beautiful Trinity at work. Jesus is the vine, the Father is the vine dresser, and the Spirit is like the sap that does the inner work from within. I like the fact that the Father is the vine dresser, because that means he knows how to look after the branch, and he does such a great job of looking after us. He knows when the right time is to prune us. And even if we're being pruned, we know that the pruning process is very effective because it actually causes our roots to go deeper down into him. He's the one who stabilizes us. He's the one who washes and cares for us. And what I liked about the fact that he is the vine dresser is that the branches don't go pruning other branches. We just leave that to the vine dresser. He's an expert at it. So our part is to remain. Notice it's the branches that always require the pruning because the root is actually perfect. And this is really comforting to know that our root, Jesus, is perfect. And as we're being sanctified, we know that I'm drawing up from him. It's going to show in our lives. It's not a discouragement to be pruned. It's actually getting rid of all this stuff we will just not need in our lives. So, how does a tree become fruitful? Does it just happen overnight? Do we plant a seed and the next day it's a fruitful tree? I don't think so. And we've never seen this happen in nature. And so, the natural realm is supposed to show us how things work in the spirit realm. It's an open secret that God really wanted creation to reveal to all mankind just how things work. It's a seed, it's time, and it's harvest. We are just to partner with him in the way he wants it doing so that we get the fruit. The seed. The seed is a hidden work that nobody sees. It's under the ground. It's away from prying eyes, but it's actually small and very powerful. And I like the fact that it's hidden away, protected almost. I just think it's such a secret work that God does with his word in our hearts. So we know that the seed is the word of God. And Jesus goes on to tell us in Luke 8:5 the different type of ground that the seed gets planted in. The wayside seed doesn't even have time to take root. It's snatched away. The seed that's planted on the rock, it does burst forth, but it doesn't have time to even form any roots. And then the seed that's sown into the thorns and brambles, it actually does manage to get some root. But because of all the cares of life, it's strangled. So even though if it grows, it doesn't bear any fruit. It's still a negative. The only ground that bears fruit is the good ground. And that brings around the fruit by patience and going down deep into its roots. Seed, time, and harvest. You can just sit back right now as I'm talking about seed, time, and harvest, and just be quite amazed at the work that God's done in your life. As you've taken in that word, and over the years, you can see that you are totally transformed. You are nothing like the people that you were years ago. And I just think that's sometimes a nice reflection to give credit to the Holy Spirit, because he has done an amazing work in each one of us. We sometimes don't feel like we've arrived at where we want to go, but the process is awesome from where we actually came from. Rooted. So we know that there are no overnight successes, no overnight big oak trees, but we know that we're on a journey. We're on a journey to grow stronger and get more developed. And I love that in Psalm 1, it paints this beautiful picture of a tree planted by living running waters. So we know as long as God's planted us, we can draw up all that ever-flowing water and grow into the very strong and stable trees that he intended us to be. We have everything that we need. And as we are planted here as a local family, all our needs will be met by God and through one another. The enemy, he's always trying to tempt us to look somewhere else, like the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. He is desperate to try and get people to be uprooted from where God has planted, because he knows if he does, it's going to really cut short the plans that God intended for us. We are only as fruitful as if we remain where he planted us, and then that's where we will thrive. And I think sometimes we need to help other people know, stay where you planted. There'll be lots of distractions for people to go here, there and everywhere, but we've got to go with what God has told us. Stay where he planted us. It's the safest and best place for us to be. We've established then that we are born of God, which is just basically born of love itself. Jesus came to reveal that love, and we are to draw the supply of love from the Spirit constantly. In Ephesians 3:17 to 19, we see that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Just filled and displaying God's love. This verse is a continuous process. It's ever reaching out to experience new heights, new depths, new widths. I just love the idea that it's not static, and it's just constantly, like roots in the natural, will seek out new nutrients, go to deeper areas. I just love this whole analogy of how we are not to stay where we are, but keep pressing forward, pressing deeper into God. It is a limitless love. This is just a little side note to show that I did do some research about trees. That sometimes the roots of a tree are up to 4 to 7 times bigger than the crown of a tree. I thought that was pretty amazing. It shows that actually it is so far reaching. It is always pushing into new ground. So each day the roots are growing by drawing up the nutrients that it needs, and it's adding layer upon layer to the tree, protecting the heart of the tree. In time, the roots grow so big and so fat that they are able to break the surface ground. They're able to go and break through walls, and anything that's an obstacle, it will either break through or get around it. And I thought this was just a wonderful example of how, as we are growing fatter and stronger in the anointing, that what seems like an obstacle in our life can easily be dealt with. So obstacles such as fear, disease, bitterness can just be obliterated by just feeding ourselves with the Word of God, and our roots are getting so strong that I think it's impossible for things to hold you back. You know, it's just an awesome thought. So is it all just about us getting fatter and bigger and stronger? No. The roots provide a very important part. They're a vital network that share their supply and support one with another. This is what the Lord had in mind when he first planted us. It wasn't just for ourselves, it was for a much bigger reason. Whilst we are here in this world, we are going to have to acknowledge that we're going to need to protect our heart, because it's a world where we need protecting. And erosion is just a natural process where the soil and nutrients get displaced. There are three major causes of erosion. Apparently, it is heavy water, strong winds, and human activity. Through enough erosion, a fertile land can be turned into a barren wasteland. This just sounds like the work of the enemy to me. Eroding godly values, flooding the minds of people with fear and strong winds of deception, hoping to leave a barren wasteland. The vine dresser, the gardener. I don't know how I'm doing for time. God mentioned in Isaiah 43:19, I am doing something brand new, something unheard of. Even now it sprouts up and grows and matures. Don't you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness. I will open up flowing streams in the desert. So whether we perceive we are planted by the streams of living water or we feel we're in a wilderness, there is no excuse. We are well provided for. God sees to it. And if together we make our roots strong, the enemy will not be successful in uprooting us or uprooting the new and growing trees that are in our midst. The Spirit. Why is all this supply here at Hope Church? Well, the supply is given so that we can display God's goodness. People will never go and see the roots that have gone down deep. They can't see Jesus physically. All they can see is the outworking, the fruit in our lives. Again, we are to grow together in this fellowship. Every root is going to be needed and strengthen one another. We again are to withstand the floods of fear, withstand the constant deception and people who are seeking to erode our godly values in a society all around us. In conclusion, we are to just keep getting more fruitful. It will draw the hungry people who don't even realize that they are so thirsty. Sometimes we apparently eat more than we should just take a drink. This is just a natural way that mankind do it. We are his orchard, and we are at different stages of growth and maturity. And we are here to put down roots that will help others in our midst stay stable, strong, and know that they can grow into successful people in God. You provide shade for the heat of the days that we're living in. You provide protection from disease, both within and without. And you have broken ground in areas so that others can learn and enjoy those benefits. Remember, those who don't know God will try and make idols out of the branches. It's because they can't see Jesus, as I've said. But we know we are only the branches that are sustained by the root. So that's not something for us to be concerned about. We have just got to acknowledge that that's what people will do. They will think it's a personality rather than the source. Jesus said in John 12, 24 to 26, verily, verily, I say to you, unless the grain of wheat falling into the ground die, it abides alone. But if it die, it bears much fruit. Satan imagined that he had killed Jesus, but God had only planted him. And 3 days later, he rose again. This might look like a really quick turnaround, but when we think about it, we have to go back to Genesis. It was prophesied from the beginning. So God shows that he is extremely loving and patient in the work that he did with all of creation and even with our own lives. His sacrifice has yielded such a harvest that our Father's house shall be filled. I just want to finish with the lyrics of the song that you heard at the beginning. Zipping up my boots, going back to my roots, to the place of my birth, back down to earth. I'm standing in the rain, drenched and soaked with pain, tired of short-term benefits and being exposed to the elements. I'm homeward bound, got my head turned around, ain't talking about the roots in the land, talking about the roots in a man. I feel my spirit's getting old. It's time to recharge my soul. These words tell the story of many around us, seeking, soaked with pain, tired of short-term benefits and exposed to the elements. But then they're turning around in repentance. They're coming home, finding their roots not in a man, and getting a new spirit and recharging their soul. We are here to tell our stories. We are here to show that we are a planting of the Lord and a display of his splendor.